כסלייב. תונו רבונן. באחר בניסן ראש השנה לחדושה. מנון הרוי נודש. שפגה נאמר מהוח בערבו לחדש התשי בכסלייב.
It's a little unusual. It says Chodesh
HaTashi
and Kislev.
Right, we mentioned that when we learned the pasuk yesterday, we made that point that why is it necessary for the pasuk to tell us that it's Kislev when it says already that it is the Chodesh HaTashi, exactly. And I don't have an answer, but one thing is for sure, that the fact that the pasuk does tell us this is critical in proving to us that the first month
Nisan.
Is Nisan. So one more time. Atonabon Becha Benisan Brosh Hashanah Lachadoshim Minolon. Rav Kahana Amar. There was a whole discussion. Rav Kahana Amar Mihocha BeArbo LaChodesh HaTishri BeKislev. It says of it that it was the fourth day of the ninth month of Kislev. Yachash Kislev Hu Chodesh HaTishri LaHari Nisan Hu Chodesh HaRishain. So if we're calling it the ninth month, obviously that means that Nisan is the first month. Now there's a very chiddush over here. This we discussed when we learned in the beginning of Sefer Zechariah, and that is, wait a minute, we're dealing with a non-Jewish king. We're dealing, even if you'll tell me that Daryavesh is Jewish because his mother was Jewish, his mother was Esther Malka, but being that we are discussing the king, him in his capacity as the king of Persia, not as the king of Yisrael, so we should be counting from Chodesh Tishrei. This is one of the basic rules in the Masechta Rosh Hashanah, that we calculate the years of non-Jewish kings or secular kings, sin kings of the Umay Soilam, from Tishrei, not from Nisan. So this was an old discussion, and one of the basic answer is that when you have a good king, when you have a king of the Umay Soilam who behaves himself and doesn't cause the Jewish people pain, agony, problems, but instead is of benefit for the Jewish people, then we reward him by counting his years, his malchus, like the Jewish kings from Nisan and not from Tishrei. Daryavesh HaParsi was probably one of the best kings ever. Besides the fact that he was Jewish, just being Jewish doesn't mean you're good. Unfortunately, we know that some Jews, Chuck Schumer. Is Chuck Schumer Jewish?
Yes.
Okay, so doesn't that speak for itself?
I just play.
Okay, just because you're Jewish, self-hating Jews, unfortunately, can be the worst, can do more damage for us than non-Jews. But when you have a king, even if he is representing the Umay Soilam, whether he's Jewish or not, that provides benefit for the Jewish people, this is his reward. The reward is that his years are calculated from Nisan and not from Tishrei. Yeah.
We have, and it says, I think it's in Shemois, that Rishon Hu L'Chodeshim.
Right, the Pasuk.
So we know, for the Pasuk, no. We know that Nisan is the first month. Why do we need this Pasuk here from Zechariah to tell us that?
Calculating king, because Rishon L'Chodeshim Hashanah, that's for the biblical holidays. When the Torah tells us there's a yomtiv called Shavuos, Sukkos, and there's Rosh Hashanah, Bachodesh Hashavi'i. So when the Torah refers to the numbers, we should know when in the year we are obligated to celebrate and to observe the mitzvahs of these festivals. Mm-hmm. But who says when it comes to other matters that are recorded that the calculation is from Nisan, maybe it's from another point in time? Look, for example, we call Tishrei, isn't that what we call Rosh Hashanah? It's the Yom Hadin. There are many Rosh Hashanah. Soon it's coming Shvat, Rosh Hashanah Lo Ilanos. Okay, so there are many Rosh Hashanah. You're right, but in regard, you're asking a good question. L'chodoshim, how do you know it? L'chodoshim, what's the Gemara they're coming to teach you? You're right, because since over here the Gemara's question was L'chodoshim, okay, I don't have a good answer. The only thing that I remember is when we started,
so that's why it has to work that through.
Right, but it's super obvious. Hachodesh zelachem roish hachodesh zelachem roish chodoshim.
It's not the Gemara's style to accept the obvious, right?
Right.
It always has to have a derivation.
Okay, but it's a pasuk in the Torah. You don't need, over here. You don't need any proof. It's obvious. It's super obvious. So why would the Gemara need to go find the pasuk in Zechariah where it calls Chodesh Kislev the ninth month, which makes it clear that Tishrei, that Nisan is the first month? Obviously, there's a lot more to it. And one thing that we certainly learned in the beginning of Sefer Zechariah is when the same thing presented itself a little bit differently there. And there, the Chazal, they emphasized, all the commentators on the page, they emphasized over and over again is that when it comes to the calculations, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, of the years of the secular, of the Umay Sa'ilam, we calculate from Tishrei, not from Nisan. And the notable exception is Dor Yavesh, because he was good. Someone who's good to us, we consider him to be one of our own. So in that respect, that is what this pasuk is here coming to emphasize. Dar Yavesh. Dar Yavesh is representing Persia. And off the bat, we would expect that his years should be calculated from Tishrei, not from Nisan. And yet the pasuk makes it clear as day that it was the ninth month. It was the ninth month to the king of Daryavesh in his fourth year. And what's the name of the month that we are describing? Kislev. Wait a minute. That's not the way we calculate time when it comes to a king representing the Umay Sa'ilam. He is different. Different because he gave permission for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. And that's why his reward is that his years, his malchus, is calculated based on Jewish time. Jewish time is the ultimate reward we can give a person. How do we know that? Because what does it say in the pasuk? Ki hi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim. In Parashas Vaeschanan, where Moshe Rabbeinu talks about Klal Yisrael, and he says that the nations of the world envy the brilliance, the knowledge of the Jewish people. How do they? In what field is it that they acknowledge our chachma? In the field of zaman, the calculation of time. Ki hi chachmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ho'amim. Asher, I don't remember. I'm asking. Remember the pasuk? Asher im yomrum mi ka.
Asher yishmiun.
Asher, you go further. Asher yishmiun.
Asher yomadon liras Hashem alkei.
Okay, come so. No, but me. There's another pasuk. Rak am chacham v'navon hagoy ha'gilozeh. Rak am chacham v'navon. And what does it say in Rashi there? What is this all about? The calculation of the Ibur Hashana. And what does it mean, the Ibur Hashana? Zman. The calculation, the complex calculation of time. That there is no one in the world can match the brilliance of the Jewish people in making the calculations, these very sophisticated mathematical calculations in figuring out time. Okay, Einstein, you know, the theory of relativity is also not a fulfillment of what it says in the pasuk. He's a Jew. Einstein was Jewish. He wasn't religious, but he was Jewish. And the theory of relativity is all about time, okay, the flexibility of time. And what did he say? And the world today is in awe. Me, Amru, who is like this nation? Chacham b'navon ha'goy ha'gadol hazeh. That is a clear fulfillment of this pasuk in the Torah. So in Klal Yisrael, if our crown relative to the Umay Sa'ilam is our ability to calculate time, so when we take time, our commodity, and we bestow it upon a nation that's not from Klal Yisrael, that is the ultimate compliment you can give.
He was very fortunate. He had a great advisor, his mother Esther Amal.
Okay, but we have to appreciate that when you have something unique, if you possess a unique commodity, and you bestow that as a gift, there is no greater honor and compliment than doing so, because you're taking what is your essence and you're gifting it to another human being. There's no greater compliment. And what is the ultimate compliment we give to Daryavish? What are you going to give him? You're going to be like Obama. When Obama went to visit, when he became the president, his first term, he became the president of the United States, president of the free world, Western civilization, and he went to visit the Queen of England. So what did he give him? He gave him CDs, DVDs of all of the schmutz of America, all of the best movies that came out of Hollywood, which were made by Jews, by the way. You know, who else? Yeah. Okay, so when you go and you go to a head of state, what do you give them? What would you give? What would anyone in this room give them? I don't know. You give them a leichter, you give them a becher, you would give them, even though they don't need it, they have their own. That's what you do. When you go, you give them a book. You'll give them something dignified. Something dignified, something that represents who you are. Obama, it's unreal. It's unreal. Today, maybe the world has sunk to such a low because of him, because of what he put into motion. It was in his first year. As soon as it became the first trip he made outside of the United States, what does he give the Queen of England? A collection of DVDs of all of the best movies, the Academy Award movies winners of America. What? You think she's interested in this? This old lady has nothing better to do than to go sit and watch Superman. I mean, what kind of stupidity is this? This is the President of the United States. That's what you give as a gift? And the whole world was laughing. Well, look at Mishigasis. He has to be different.
Besides the lack of class, he hated the British.
What?
I'm sure he gave the Castro a better gift.
What kind of nonsense is that? The whole world was laughing. What kind of nonsense? You go to a head of state, you give them something dignified. It was very common and this done. What is called Jews? Go study history. What do Jews give non-Jews? A Sefer Torah. They give them a Sefer Torah. What?
So of course they hated the British.
It was very common for Jews when they would actually give a Sefer Torah. Hayitachen with Shemu Malchus written on. Yeah. This is a fact. This is something. It was even done recently. Who did this recently? There was someone who recently, I forgot, recently it was in the news. Someone gave, who did he give?
In Dubai?
Yeah, it could be. It could be. They gave. Okay, they.
I get it on my phone every.
This was a minog Yisrael to give a head of state a Sefer Torah. Oh, but it's not going to be guarded by Kedusha Uve Tahara. So you have to assume that you have to understand that the situations where they were, you have to, even though there are always doubts what's going to happen at the very end, but we assume that they were treated with Kedusha. But why a Sefer Torah? Because this is what's special to us. And what is special to us, it is expected that when you give a gift to someone, you give them something that represents who you are. The Jewish people, they are one with the Torah. And it is expected by the recipient of the gift that to appreciate that the gift is of value, that the gift represents what is your essence. Maybe Obama felt that the essence of the United States is all the schmutz that comes out of Hollywood.
No. Hollywood is make believe, and Obama is
make believe. Make believe. Fantasy island. So there's an enormous psychology that goes into giving a gift. Giving a gift. You know, you could just repackage. Re-gift. You get a gift for the holidays. It goes in one door, out the other door. Okay, we know that. But when you give a real gift, there's an enormous degree of psychology that goes into what are you giving? How do you present it? How is it packaged? Look at the parasha 2 weeks ago. Yaakov Avinu says to his children, if you're going to go down again to Egypt, if in Cain Zoisasu, present a lavish gift.
The best of the land.
A lavish gift from the best of the land. But whatever it says, all the different things that he gave them, and then what happened?
When
the Zimra Asoretz, from the song of the land, the song of what the land is praised for, the Zimras, the essence of a gift is something which the world looks at you and they sing your praises. Take that object which represents your praise, and that is what you use to give as a gift. And when they went, and then it says they prepared. Vayochinu es hamincha. They prepared the gift. There's enormous koichas in giving a gift. So, what is the ultimate gift that we can give to the Umay Yisraelam besides giving them a Sefer Torah? Time. What do we mean time? Being that the Torah says that our uniqueness in that how they can relate to us, kihi chochmaschem ubinaschem le'enei ha'amim asher yishmuun, when they'll hear about what we can do, they'll say, me goy, who is there a nation that's wise and brilliant? Chocham v'novon kegoy ha'gadol hazeh, Rashi, on those psukim, what are we referring to? The ability for the Jewish people to calculate time.
That's Yodea ha'itim.
They're able to calculate time.
Also referred to the Chachamim.
Mathematicians.
Of Israel, who were renowned for their wisdom in the calendar.
Calendar. Why Chazal?
Megillah is the first place that mentions the names of the month. And it mentions the first month as Tishrei, the tenth month is Tebes, and the 13th month is Adar. It mentions it quite a few times in the Megillah. And I think maybe you have to say that after Churban, we had a, you know, mention what it was, the number month, but what the name of the month was. So we all make a mistake. Of course, maybe you'll think that we're counting in a different system since Corbin is, you know, it's post.
Okay, that's a different idea.
Changed our.
Okay, that's a different idea. But the Gemara says specifically in reference to Dayavish, the reason why we calculate is because he's a good king. He's a good king.
And Rabbi Levine, as opposed, you had mentioned at one time about how how documents were dated from the Churban, right?
Right.
So now you have from dating by the Churban to dating via the reconstruction.
Now so we're dating. Well,
it's a turnaround of a sort.
Okay, but it's not. But this is not. We're not starting year zero with the rebuilding. We're not really doing that. Daryavesh is called his fourth year. This is his fourth year.
But nevertheless, he's given that privilege because of the reconstruction, and that now turns around from the dating from
the Churban. Okay, but we're not dating document. Okay, all right. We're dating.
In the sense of the exact number. Okay. I mean, in the sense of the intent.
Okay, and we also always like to point out that this idea. We mentioned this that when it says in the Pasukim Yirmiyah, when did the walls of Yerushalayim, when were they breached? We observe Shiva Asa B'Tammuz, the 17th day of Tammuz. What does it say in the Pasukim Yirmiyah? It was breached on the 9th day of Tammuz. So the question is, why are we observing the 17th day of Tammuz when it says explicitly in the Pasuk that the walls were breached on the 9th day of Tammuz? The answer is, there are two answers. There's the Machlokes, the Bavli, and the Yerushalmi. One of them says, I don't remember which one says that, there's a difference between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. The Bayis Rishon was breached on the 9th day. The Bayis Sheni was breached on the 13th, on the 17th day. And the other Talmud says, the MS is, the walls were breached on the 17th day of Tammuz. And the reason why it was printed in Yirmiyah, the 9th day of Tammuz, they lost track of time. They made a mistake. They thought it was the 9th day of Tammuz when it was really the 17th day of Tammuz due to the intensity of the siege. What does that say to you? It says to you, look how low we have fallen. We who have been acknowledged as the world experts, world-renowned scientists who know how to calculate time, we don't even know the Aleph Beis. We don't even know the correct calendar date. That is how low we have fallen. It's the ultimate insult. Insult. If we are the nation, me, Chacham, V'Novin, Hagoy, Hagodol, Hazeh, and we're able to calculate time with such precision, and we don't even know something so basic, so elementary, that speaks volumes of how low we have fallen at this point in time. All right, let's go further. In the Mamor Chazal, next Pasuk, Beis, Vayishlach Beis El, Sar Etzer, Veregem, Melech, Va'anoshav, L'chalois Es Pnei Hashem. Before you go further, I just want to point out one thing is, no, it's not the same word. No, I made a mistake. Let's go for a fair. Etzer, Veregem, Melech, so these, let's assume that these are names of people. So the Gemara here says, "Afilu sorry melech bavel nischortu bohen achar shachrivu es Yerushalayim, v'hayu misablin alecha." And they mourn. This is a Mishnah Rabbi Eliezer, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer. I wanted to say over here, Allah called Shivim Shana Ad Shemnim Nesosh Nemar Yishlach Beisel Shar Etzer V'Regem Melech V'Nashav L'Chalois Pnei Hashem Limar Elakayim Asher L'Veis Hashem Tzavakos Mihu Shar Etzer V'Anashav. Who are these people? Elu Sorei Melech Bavel. That's not really what Rashi didn't say, not like this explicitly, but the Radak and the Malbim seem to really not really learn like this. And he's saying these were non-Jews. According to what the assumption that we have made until now, everyone listed here were Jews, were Yisrael. Who else would be asking the question, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? A guy? A non-Jew? Did you ever hear of a non-Jew want to fast on Tisha B'Av? Okay, even the Jews don't want to fast on Tisha B'Av. I used to teach in Brooklyn College as an adjunct, and I remember that I didn't want to come in on Tisha B'Av. I didn't want to teach on Tisha B'Av. And I told my supervisor, and he gave me a very hard time. He gave me a very hard time. At the end, he let me do, but he was Jewish, by the way. Who else? He was Jewish. Yes. He didn't like it. He really said to me, so what? You come in, who cares? Tisha B'Av, I want you to come and teach on Tisha B'Av. And whatever. And like, who cares? Tisha B'Av, what's the big deal, Tisha B'Av? And this is a Jew. So could you imagine? So here, not only are it's even the non-Jews are observing Tisha B'Av. Then according to this Maimon Chazal, Pirkei Rabbi Eliezer, there were non-Jews that observed the fast day of Tisha B'Av. And this explains, by the way, why it only mentions Tisha B'Av and does not mention Tzom Gedalia, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamuz. A guy, Tisha B'Av is enough. We have to observe 4 days. But for a guy, no, 1 day is enough. Tisha B'Av is more than enough to observe in the Churban Beis HaMikdash. But even that is shocking. Everyone here on the page, everyone struggled. Everyone here struggled as to why was the question only asked regarding Tisha B'Av. And we learned, everyone had their different take, a spin on it. Hu Adin, all the other fast days, once we'll know what the answer is regarding Tisha B'Av, so certainly we'll know the other answer. We don't have to fast with Tisha B'Av, so we certainly do not need to fast with the other fast days. And we had the Malbim that said there's a fundamental difference between Tzom Gedalia, and the other fast days. We had a lot of different ideas were presented here regarding this question. The answer is super, super simple. These were Goyim. These were non-Jews. They also observed Tisha B'Av. But for them, Tisha B'Av was enough. There's no need to fast for Gedalia. There's no need to fast for the breaching of the walls, that's Rabbi Teves. Unbelievable. Why would they want to fast? They realized the damage they've done to themselves. Chazal tell us that if the Goyim only understood what blessing the world gains, what they gain with the Beis HaMikdash, they would guard the Beis HaMikdash like the pupil of their eye. They would send their finest and their best to guarantee the safety and security. A cockroach wouldn't die in Eretz Yisrael. There would be so much safety and security, it would be unreal. If only they appreciated the damage that they shot themselves in the foot by destroying the Beis HaMikdash. But here it says, and how did Chazal know that? Because for the first 70 years, they did. Now they don't. Now it's already, they forgot about it. History has been rewritten. And it's been a long time. But originally they did appreciate to the degree where they fasted. Where do you see a chazal like this? Such a shocking thing. It's incredible what it says over here.
It's hard to understand. I mean, they certainly, regretfully or not, they certainly would have opposed Reconstruction.
Absolutely. Look, we have all these psukim.
So that's an inherent contradiction.
It is. Look, we have all these psukim.
Yeah, but they're very superstitious.
Okay, here we go.
Yeah, but they didn't make a move to help, that's for sure.
No.
This Chazal is a bit problematic because we've learned Baruch Hashem a lot of Pesukim Menach, and we've come across many sections where Hashem says, Bavel, I have it in for you. You are cursed. And we see it today. We see that Iraq, ancient Bavel, is a cursed land. Nothing.
Chazal say Hashem, that's one of the things Hashem regretted creating was the kastim.
So if this land is cursed, we were saying over here that they had charata, they have regret. Hashem is very kind. Hashem wouldn't go so far to curse this land all the ad kedekach until modern times, until we see that nothing could be accomplished in that land. And the psukim make it very clear that Hashem has it in for them no matter what. And yet here we're learning that they had charata. So what are you going to answer me? There's a difference between the kasdim and the Babylonians. They are yichidim, it's not everyone, maybe. There are different types of people in this land. But there's one thing is for certain over here, that you cannot deny that what it says here, this chazal, and it does answer a lot of questions, especially this that it says melech, a king. There are no kings in the Jewish people. To say that a Jew in those days had a name melech, it's a little bit far-fetched. Today, if someone would walk into Shul and say the name is melech, we know, you're right, I know someone whose name is melech, but it's not a very popular common name to call yourself a king, especially in ancient times. But if here it's saying over here that we're not dealing with Jews, we're dealing over here with diplomats, with heads of state, different regions in Bavel, then, oh, you know, some of the dots can be connected. Some things over here indeed make a lot of sense. Let's go further. And they sat in the shire of the middle gate. Nargel Sar Etzin. Now, over here, he's quoting over here. There's another passage in Yirmiyah. Over there, I don't know if the old girl is filled with a sin or a shin, but there it says, there was a, you see over here that he's claiming it was the same person. It says that was a non Jew, that was a king who came, they came to attack Yerushalayim, and now they have Charata, and now they're actually fasting in remorse of their sins of destroying the Beis HaMikdash, and they're sending questions to the Navi, Lechalois. Unbelievable. They're the ones asking the Sha'ela. Answers all the questions. Let's go further. All right, this concludes. Let's now go to the next section. Pasuk Dalet. We now move ahead. Vayehi devar Hashem tzevokos elai lemar. Hashem tzevokos, he said to me, saying, Emor el am ha'aretz. Speak to the people of the land. V'el ha'koyhanim lemar. Ki tzamtem v'sofoid. Hashem says, ki tzamtem, that you should. Hashem goes on to say, Ki tzamtem, v'safa, you shall fast, v'safod, and you shall eulogize, b'chamishi, chamishi is Tisha B'Av, uvashevi'i, this is Tzom Gedalia, v'zeh shivim shana, hatzoim tzamtum oni. And these 70 years, this is a difficult expression, Hatsoim Samtem Oni, the fast. Over here the Mitsudai says, Ritsun Loimar Vichy here aftem oisi bezeh lachshosh. Were you concerned? Okay, let's just read the Pesukim, then we'll go through the Mitsudai more carefully. Let's read the Pesukim very quickly. Pasik Vavichi Soichlu Vichy Sishtu. Did you eat? Did you drink? Halayatem Ho'ichlim Vyatem Hashoisim. What are you talking about? You're coming now to ask me a question. Should you fast? Did you fast in the past? You're coming to ask me a question. What should you do in the future? Before we discuss the future, let's discuss the past. Ki tzamtem v'safoid b'chamishi uvashvi v'zeh shiv shana tzoyim tzamtem oni. Okay, let's go. We'll come back. We'll come back to it in a moment. Let's read the Pesukim. Pasuk Vav. V'chi soichlu v'chi sishlu. Did you eat? Did you drink? Haloi atem ha'ichlim atem ha'shoisim. You're eating, you're drinking. Haloi es ha'devarim asher kara Hashem b'yad ha'neviim ha'rishonim. The matter, the words which Hashem read through the neviim ha'rishonim. B'yos Yerushalayim yeshevis u'sheleva. When Yerushalayim was in a state of tranquility. V'yorecha seviv o'secha. V'yanege v'hashvelo yoshev. Now what does all of this mean? Let's see the Mitzudos. Mitzudos Pasik, the previous page of Pasik Dalid. Pasuk Dalet.
Right?
It's yeah. Well, let's see. There are different ways. There are different ways to learn. There are different ways to learn pasuk. There can be different approaches. Let's see the mitzvah. The pasuk down on page 772. The pasuk begins. Vayhi devar ritzon loymar v'al zeh haya elai devar Hashem. Hey, emor el am el kol amoritz lo tziv lohos save hadibur klape hashluchim. Over here, the first thing is I don't want you to respond. I do not want you to respond to the messengers. I rather ki hayu kinezufim lefanov. Al Shlo'olu Losheves Be'eretz Yisrael. First of all, we have to appreciate over here, they were not, let's forget what we just learned in the Mamar Mechazal. According to the Mitzudas, the people that are arriving are Jews. Okay, we're now going to forget, we're going to put away for safekeeping what we have just learned in the Pirkei, the Rebbe Eliezer. We're going to assume that the messengers are Jews, religious Jews. They have sent the message from Bavel. The people in Bavel want to know, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? Hashem says, these people in my eyes are in Cherem. Don't have anything to do with them. They're excommunicated. Why? Because they refuse to make Aliyah. Did you watch yesterday Jonathan Pollard? Did you see the video of Jonathan Pollard? Weren't you impressed? He comes off the plane, he kisses the earth. He tells the head of state, it's a really very great, great Musa Haskell. Here you have the prime minister of the state of Israel, the most powerful man in the entire Middle East. Okay, not just in Israel. He has more nukes at his disposal than the whole Middle East put together. Okay, he may even have more nukes than America. Okay, he's the most powerful man in the whole Middle East. And Jonathan Pollard gets off the plane. And Netanyahu wants to, I don't know, you have to go, he wants to greet him, he doesn't know, Corona, he can't touch him, everyone's watching, whatever. But he wants to, like, whatever, embrace him, whatever that means, whatever.
An air hug,
fine, whatever. And he says, no. I don't care who you are. I don't care, you can blow up this whole world. I want to kiss the earth. I want to kiss the earth of Eretz HaKodesh. That's powerful. That was a powerful, powerful statement. Okay, could you imagine such a thing happening in America? Could you ever imagine Obama or any head of state coming to greet someone that's whatever, that comes to America, and they say to the President of the United States, no, don't shake my hand, don't hug me. I first want to kiss the earth of America. Is it even possible such a thing? Impossible. It's a very Kiddush Hashem. It was an amazing thing to see that.
Probably happened though. It probably has happened. I'm thinking of the time when those people were released from North Korea.
The whole world is watching this. Is that no? First thing is first. Eretz HaKodesh, and he kisses the earth. What a Musar Haskel that is for all of us here in America. No, it's a powerful statement. Yesha koine olamoi b'sho achas. Okay, it's incredible. It's a Rabbi Mayevsky. It's good chaimer the Jewish, no?
No, you know, that was done very quietly. And, he's not interested in the media. Only Bibi was. He was looking for a photo op.
He's a complicated person. But, Jonathan Pollard is a complicated person. And the one who gets all the credit.
It's very appropriate for this week's parsha.
And this one person, who gets all the credit. You know who that is?
Trump.
No, Lerner. Pesach Lerner, exactly. Yeah. Pesach Lerner, this is all Achvarak. Achvarak, Pesach Lerner, the president emeritus of the National Council of Young Israel. Mm-hmm. Here we are in a Young Israel today, that which has been under his leadership for how many, 30 years? 30 years? He was the...
Well, not for the last 10, anyway.
Okay, the whole thing dissolved, the whole thing, unfortunately, but it was all him. The whole thing from beginning to end was all him. And this whole event happened because of him.
He had a hotline in the office, a dedicated line only for Pollard.
I know a very wealthy person, a very, very wealthy person. I actually spoke to him not that long ago. He's no youngster, and he gave a lot of money to the National Council of Young Israel, and he told my father, Zohar Levracha, the only reason why he's giving all of this money, giving an enormous amount of money, is in honor of Pesach Lerner, for one, not because he's buddy-buddy with Pesach Lerner, because of what he did for Jonathan Pollard. And he says, no one else did it, no one lifted a finger. It's all him. It's all him. And the Kiddush Hashem that he made by making that statement, kissing the earth. You ever see a Haredi kiss the earth?
you don't know. You don't know how many times he led important people to visit Jonathan in prison so that they could see for themselves and they could use their influence. I mean, it was over and over and over again.
He's a very complicated person, Jonathan Pollard.
I know, because, you know, I was working.
They had a fantastic article, if you want to look it up, in Mishpacha magazine about a month ago, or maybe a little bit more, when he was in the news that he's given permission when he cut off the ankle brace. So they wrote it up. And I was blown away, because I've been following Jonathan Pollard for here and there. I found it very interesting, and I was amazed how they were able in a couple of pages to really present an enormous amount of accurate information in a very, I felt, a very responsible, balanced way. And it was just, if you can get a hold of it, it was a great, great article that really, whoever wrote it really knew their stuff. They really followed him all the years in order to present.
Yeah, but the greatest person was Pollard himself. Could you imagine being in solitary for so long and they did everything to make his life miserable?
I really can't. It's hard to
believe. I mean, not only he became stronger and stronger, you know?
In that case, I'll tell you what I wrote this morning, that Mr. and Mrs. Pollard landed quietly in Israel. Ironically, Israel is in a lockdown, but nothing compared to the lockdown he endured for the past 35 years.
Wow, that's good. Rachel, that has to go viral. You got to send it out.
I don't know. My brother said almost the same thing to me, but I wrote it before that.
Very powerful. So over here, that's happening, and we're learning here this morning. In the Mitzvah stuff, it says, we learn Pshat in the Pasuk. We have the Shaluchim who are sending this message, should we fast on Tisha B'Av? And Hashem says, don't even answer these people. These people, they're irrelevant. They're irrelevant. They're in Nozuf. I'm angry at them because they don't want to come to the land. What's holding them back? What's holding them back to come to Eretz Yisrael? Also, by the way, there's another Musa Haskell. He praised Netanyahu. He said some very beautiful words of praise. That's a very noble thing to do, you know, to give a compliment to someone in a public way. How many people today give compliments? Today, it's all about criticism. The more you can criticize, the good.
Did you hear his bracha? He made a Matir Asurim.
Yeah, what was that about? That's a strange bracha. That's a strange thing. Why did he make that bracha? I'm sure all of the Bali Halacha who write in these newspapers, they'll have what to write about. That's a little bit strange to me. I don't understand. The one that should make the bracha should be Pollard, not Netanyahu. What is he making the bracha? Shema Malchus.
Well, he probably hadn't made it that day yet, so he was the only thing.
Why do you make that bracha? Who told him to make that bracha? The chief rabbi? I don't.
He was in the middle of davening chakras, you know.
Did he say a Shema Malchus? I think he did, right? He said with Shema Malchus?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why do you make that? What's that about? What are you, a Pesach?
since
when did he become a Pesach to make that bracha? Maybe you're going to make it. What, if there is a bracha to make, maybe you make a Toiv HaMeitiv. Do you make a bracha and take the vaccine? When you take the vaccine, do you make a bracha?
The second one, not the first one.
You make a Shachyon. So the Leibowitz, Rabbi Leibowitz, he asked Rabbi Herschel Schachter, you make a Shachyonu. So Rav Herschel Schachter says, no, you make a Toiv HaMeitiv, not a Shechiyanu. And Rabbi Schachter, when he got the vaccine legally, it wasn't his fault, he had no idea, So I know someone that says, but he should have known. He should have known. Someone yesterday was hacking me a Chinik. How could Rabbi Herschel Schachten or I will cut the line and get the vaccine? I said, they had no clue. You think they knew this was fraud? How are they supposed to know? You have a medical facility that's offering vaccine. How are they supposed to know anything? He says, he should have known. He's a leader. All right, you go say what you want to say. I don't know. But he did when he took the vaccine, he made a bracha b'shem u'malchus. Baruch atah Hashem kinei melech olam ha'toyv ha'meitiv. Why ha'toyv ha'meitiv? It's good for you and it's good for someone else. You won't kill anyone. If you don't have the vaccine, it's a very interesting insight. If you go, you make shachianu that you'll save your life. But no, I'm not saving my life. I'm saving your life also. Because every person that doesn't have it is not going to be a carrier to cause someone else to have it. So he said you should make a bracha. It's an amazing thing. You think about it. When you go, you take the vaccine. Eventually, if you take it, according to Herschel Shech, you should make the bracha toiv ha'metiv. Another very, very important shaila, should you go take it on Shabbos? Should you go take, let's say you can get an appointment. Right now, no one can get it. There's no one can get it now. It'll take you probably a couple of weeks until it's available for the Hamoinam. But when eventually you'll be able to take the vaccine, let's say they'll say, okay, we have an appointment for you on Saturday. Should you go take the vaccine on Shabbos? Call a car service before Shabbos. They'll take you, you'll come and go, you'll sit down. And they'll put the needle into your arm. You won't be doing malacha. You'll have a goya, mirul akram. How critical is it for a person to take the vaccine? Is it kedai to go on Shabbos to be mechal Shabbos befarhesia to do a betzina to mechal Shabbos dina derabanan? What are the laws? It's not so simple. There's not a simple answer to this question. Some places can say you should go on Shabbos. Mamish chil Shabbos deraisa. Mamish ruach nefesh. Yeah, there are some rabbis now saying this. And some say, so someone told me yesterday, Meir told this to me yesterday, is the fact is, they're only giving the vaccine now to the first responders 9 to 5. Why are they giving it 9 to 5? They should be giving it 24/7. How come the people who are entitled to take the vaccine, the first responders and nursing home patients, are only getting the vaccine working hours, 9 to 5? If it's such a great sakana, they should be giving out the vaccine 24/7. Mm-hmm. In the middle of the night, people should be waiting online to get the vaccine. No, the government is not paying for that. They're only paying to get the vaccine. No overtime. There's no overtime. For the vaccine, 9 to 5, v'zehu. That's what some poskim are saying. The fact that the government doesn't feel it's such an emergency to pay for overtime is an indication that you don't have to get it on Shabbos. You can wait until Sunday, Monday. Mm-hmm. They're using that as a halachic piece of information to affect the psak halacha. It's very interesting. All right, in any event, then they have this child of pregnant women. This fellow, he called me up, and he said to me that Dr. Glatt said that a woman who is pregnant definitely should take the vaccine, must take the vaccine, a pregnant woman. So he told me that one of my relatives, who is a doctor, told him, do not. A pregnant woman should not, because none of the trials, 30,000 people to whom they gave the vaccine were pregnant women. So you don't know. They did the trial on 30,000 people and the results were good, but none of the 30,000 people were pregnant women. So how do you know? So this doctor disagrees with Dr. Glatt. Dr. Glatt is one opinion, but there are other opinions. Okay? And then there's Rav Chaim Kanievsky, and there's a whole scandal going on Chaim Kanievsky where he I don't know what he said. No one really knows what he said, but now he retracted. He said that they didn't tell him the truth. They didn't tell him all the information. They didn't reveal to him all the information. They only presented him with some of the information, and they didn't tell him all the possible side effects. So he retracted his psak that you must take it. I don't know what that means. That means do whatever you want. whatever it is, and then topic of conversation. Now, for now, let's go further over here. But over here, we came over here. There's some fascinating over here. We got into Jonathan Pollard went into politics. And that is these people, according to the mitzvahs, are nizufim because they refuse to come to Eretz Yisrael. Shame on you. And therefore, Hashem says, don't even answer these people. But the question is a good question. It should be answered to the population, to the people living in Eretz Yisrael. Don't answer the people in Bavel. They're not worthy of an answer. But the Am Ha'aretz, the people who are living in the land, and the Kohanim, they need to know the answer to this question. Okay, it's a real shtech, a real insult to the people living in Bavel. They're not even getting an answer. The Mitzvot of the says, Loitziv lohasef adibal, I'm reading over Pasuk Hay in the Mitzvot of Stavit. Loitziv did not command lohasef to answer Hadibor klape hashaluchim. Ki hayu kinezufim. Because they are in Shamta, they are in Cherem, they are excommunicated. They are people who upon whom Hashem is angry. Al shaloi olu lo sheves be'eretz Yisrael, because they did not ascend the land. Ve'heisev adibu el mul yosha yushlam shlo yistapku gamhem, they should not have a suffix. They should have no doubt as to what the answer is. And what is the answer? Next page, page 774, Kit Samtem. Asher tzamtem usefadetem b'chamishi, ze tisha b'av v'chamishi, v'ashvi ze tzom gedalia, v'ze shem shana, shenehaktem kein. This that you have done in the past, v'zochar gam tzom gedalia, ki oimer hinei loy tzodku ma shezochu levad tisha b'av, shu hechomur b'einehem, ki gam tzom gedalia kamohu, ki shekula kemisa sadikim kisreifa space Hashem kemosha amu razal. Now we have to get to the Malbim, his take on this, because the Malbim said there was a very good reason why they did not answer regarding tzom gedalia, but we'll come to him later soon. But right now the Mitzvah stuff, it says that Hashem is giving them musr. That's not the way you ask the question. See, sometimes when Hashem asks a question, you get a frask. You get a frask. Why? You didn't, not only you should you not have asked the question, but if you're going to ask the question, there's another way to ask the question. The angle of your question is inappropriate. You're only asking for the most chomor. You should ask for the most lenient of the four fasts for Tzom Gedalia. Hatzoim Tzamtuni. Now, what does that mean? Did you fast for me? What does this mean? So he explains, Ule toisefes beor, for more and a more elaborate explanation, Omar, Oni, or Ritzon Loimar, Vichi hereaftem oisi vizeh, lachshoish al tzomchem. Were you concerned? Did you make me hungry? Now, what does this mean? Let's read a little bit more to get more clarity in this. Let's read the next pasuk. V'chi soichlu v'chein kasher toichlu v'chasher tishlu haloyatem hoichlim v'hashoisem ulechem yesh hano boze avol elai loy bo'o hano mize ucho oimer. Now he finally explains the entire sentence. Ma ze hasheela al hatanis. Mali bozeh im yisanu oyoichlu. What kind of question is this? What difference does it make if you eat or you do not eat? If you eat, does Hashem get benefit? If you fast, does Hashem feel pain? What kind of question is this? Now let's go further. Haloi es hadvarim ko'oimer mi bikesh mehem hatsoim. Haloi bezeh chofatzti es hadvarim. That's not the issue. Yosheves ritzoin loymar, Yosheves behashket v'shanan, to dwell in serenity. V'orecha v'chein orecha shebesivoisecha hoy yosheves behashket v'shalva yoshev ritzoin loymar miyushov mibnei adam. So what is he saying in essence? He's saying over here is, let's go back and read the pasuk again. Go back. First, let's go back and read the pasuk again and try to figure out what he's saying according to the Mitzvot of it. Pasuk Hey, Emor El Amo Aretz V'Alakayinim Lema. First of all, first lesson over here is the people from Bavel, forget about them. They're evil. They don't want to return. But it's a good question, and I want the people of Eretz Yisrael to know. I want them to hear what I have to say. And did the Kohanim say, first of all, I'm giving you Musar, why only Tisha B'Av? What about some Gedalia? And the next thing over here is, this that you fasted, this that you did fast in the past. And the way the pasuk is constructed is a little bit awkward, but that's the way it's constructed. This that you fasted on month 5 and 7, v'zeh shiv mshana, and this that you've done so for the last 70 years, hatsoim tzamtuni oni, do you think it really makes a difference to me? Do you really think this that you fasted for 70 years, I felt pain? It made a difference to your fasting. Did it affect me? And what would be if you would eat? Would I get benefit? If you would eat and you would drink, do I feel your pleasure? So in other words, what is Hashem saying? I couldn't care less. I couldn't care less what you'll do in the future. I couldn't care less what you did in the past. And as Hashem over here is saying is, you're missing the point. You're just doing mitzvahs like robots without appreciating what is behind the mitzvah. Haloi es hadvarim asher kara Hashem yad hanevim harishonim. What I care about is the messages that I've sent through the prophets. Biyos Yerushalayim yosheves ushaleva. In the olden days, when Yerushalayim was in a state of peace and tranquility, and when in the land in the south and the lowlands, when it was established, I sent prophets. There were a lot of prophets, and they had a lot what to say. Go look it up. Go open up a book of Yeshaya, of Yirmiyah, of Yechezkel, of the other Treyasar. Go look it up. I had a lot what to say. And the theme of what I had to say was, you should be good people. People who are observant. People who are honest. People of integrity. People who care about someone else. That's what I want. I'm not interested in you going through lip service, coming to the Beis Hamikdash, coming, and sitting on the floor and knowing what to do. You're coming to me, you're asking me this technical halachic shaila. You're asking me, I want to know the shear of matzah. And the people, they come, they want to know how much matzah do I have to eat on Pesach? And you take out a scale, and you grind up the matzah to figure out bidiyuk, exactly the shear of matzah. Is it a half of a machine matzah? There's a different type of machine matzah. Hand matzah. There's the pupa matzah. There's the shatza matzah. There's the Manischewitz hand matzah now. And there's this hand matzah. So what is the shiur of matzah? That's what you ask me. You want to know exactly how much of this product you put in your stomach? Why don't you ask me, what is the meaning of the matzah? What is the significance of eating lechem oini? What is it? What should we be thinking? What does it remind us of? What's the moral lesson? What's the musar in the matzah? That's what I want you to ask me. I don't want you to come ask me to know exactly how many minutes, how much it has to weigh, what it has to look like, all the technical elements of the mitzvah. You're missing the whole point of the mitzvah. No, as Rahman al-Islam, I've seen this a couple of times, and here it may be a little bit different. Rahman al-Islam, you see sometimes when a person passes away, there are certain people that become very obsessed with the halachas. Very obsessed. What do I do now? This. Everything becomes, during the time of aninus and avelus, they become super duper obsessed with all of the detailed laws of what to do. And to me, you're totally missing the point. It's like, What you're supposed to do is focus on the dead. Focus on the person who died. And it's very obvious is that the person can't do that because they'll lose their mind because the pain is so great and they need an escape. And the place where they find the escape is instead is to focus on halacha, to focus on make sure we have a minyan and make sure we do we say this mizmar, do we say that mizmar, and to cover the mirrors, not cover the mirrors, and to do this and do that, and all these extremely detailed, these fine nuances, things that you never even heard of. Why are they doing that? Well, it's very clear because they can't focus. They need to divert their attention. The pain and the horror is so great, they need an outlet. And where do they put the outlet? Into the fine points of halacha. They go overboard. So, listen, you know, what are you going to say? I mean, that's Rachman Mutzlan, it's a tzar, that's what happens. But it does come a point where now you can deal with what happened in a responsible way. And don't get so worked up over the fine points. You do what everyone else does. Just do the halacha. You do the basics. You don't have to be machmir every single teeny little thing, every note you find in the art scroll. You have to, every single thing you've never heard of before, never seen it before. It's too much. It becomes too much because you need an outlet. That's what's happening over here in the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. You're coming now, you're asking the rabbi these crazy questions. You're asking like these like ridiculous questions. Do you do this? So you cover the, you have a picture in the house, you cover it, you don't cover it. What difference does it make? You cover the picture, you don't cover the picture with the shmata. The focus is someone, a tragedy happened. Focus on the tragedy. Focus on the person who is now in the neshama, it's a time of din. Focus on the musar. Hashem has spoken. Hashem has taken a tzaddik. Misa tzaddikim is shakol kishrevas beis elokeinu. Okay, so you can't do that because we are only little people. But here, we're dealing with a nation, 70 years later, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is giving such a strong rebuke is saying to the people, your focus, your priorities are totally off. Totally, totally off. You come, you have a question. This is the question. Should I fast? Should I not fast? Who cares if you fast or not fast? Who cares? Why don't you do something more fundamental? Why don't you come to Yerushalayim? This is where you belong. You don't belong in Babel, running a business and having a good life and establishing yourself in Babel. The first thing you should do is you should come to Yerushalayim. You come to Eretz Yisrael. Fast, don't fast. Don't worry. If you're doing something wrong, eventually, I always tell people, you know, people, they love to ask a lot of shilas. Just shout, awesome, what, do this. Don't worry. If you're doing something wrong, I guarantee you, someone will tap you on the shoulder and say, you know something? It's usher to do this. You don't have to ask so many shilas. Just follow the herd. You follow the herd and focus on what is correct, on what is the right perspective. The nuances and the details of halacha, Memela, eventually everything will fit into place. You'll pick it all up. It will naturally fall into place. When the focus is on the nuances of halacha without appreciating the big picture, that's horrible. And it's exactly how the Mitzvah's David over here is learning pshat in these very powerful psukim. Hashem is giving Musa. You have a shayla, you live in Bavel. Oh, you have a big tzaddikim in Bavel. They send a shayla, a shluchim to the Beis HaMikdash. Oh, with tzaddikim with a long beard and payas. We want to ask the Rav a shayla, the Navi a shayla. Should we fast? Should we not fast? That's your shayla. What are you doing in Bavel? What are you living there in Bavel?
You make believe you're Grace at Tzaddikim living in Babel? Where do you belong? You belong here in Eretz Yisrael. The Navi, Ezra, Nehemiah told you to come. No. That we can't list. That he doesn't know what he's talking about. But the Est Shaila, Lamdash Shaila, that's what you're concerned about. Hashem says, I couldn't care less if you fast or not. Go back into your hole. Do whatever you want. Don't bother me. Leave me alone. Focus on priorities. The priority is we're rebuilding Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, not in Chutz Liaretz. So get with the program. Then we'll worry about all the intricate little details of the halacha. That's the Musa here of this pasuk. And how appropriate this is, as I said before, to read this Mitzudas David against the backdrop of watching Jonathan Pollard tell the most powerful person in the Middle East, you wait a second, buddy. There's something more important than you. The Ribbono Shel Olam is more important than you. You just calm down. Let me first kiss the earth. Unbelievable. I have to say, though, I'll tell you two things. I was very disappointed in Netanyahu. If I was Netanyahu, I would have helped pick her up, his wife. Mayor, right? Mayor, we have to criticize us, right? We're not such nice people here.
Didn't have Sarah to ask.
He should have picked her up.
His wife wasn't with him.
Why didn't Netanyahu help Esther Pollard up from the ground? She was struggling.
He was struggling again.
I think he should have helped her up. He would have been then got such praise. The accolades would be coming in the whole world. Such a gentleman. Why did he pick her up? All right, none of my business. I'm not chashon from criticizing. Who am I to criticize? I wouldn't have been any different. But quite an event and quite a mitzudas David here. Really, it's really, for me, it's something to really think about and absorb. All right, I'll take a short break, and then we're going to learn about
One question. The 40 years the Yidden were in after the Meraglim, they fasted Tisha B'Av?
The Meraglim? They died on Tisha B'Av.
Right.
They all went into their grave. Yeah.
40 years.
As far as I know, there's no room service in a grave.
Right, but for the next 40 years.
Yeah.
They lay in the grave, but did they fast or no?
Someone came around. Anyone here want a drink in the cemetery? You think someone came around? Anyone here want?
So did they give karbanos in the Mishkan?
The Mishkan, that's a Gemara. The Gemara talks about the Mishkan. They were limited karbanos in the Mishkan. The Gemara has a discussion.
So they didn't give any karbanos. It's no problem. And if they gave a carbon the day before,
it says in the Gemara.
So they didn't need it.
It says in the Gemara that every Tisha B'Av, everyone in Klal Yisrael dug a grave, and every year about 15,000 people didn't come out of the grave. 15,000 did not wake up. Did not come out of the grave. Everyone that was in the grave, I don't assume there was a butler coming around and said, Diet Coke? Or have some liqueur? Or would you like some corned beef sandwich? All you guys in the grave? Anyone, what would you like? Taking orders. A waiter coming around in the cemetery. I never saw that before.
Diet, when you said Diet Coke, you didn't mean it as a pun, did you?
All right, we'll take a short break, and then we're going to do a very interesting topic. You can help me with this topic. We have over here a dentist. Of Mordechai Binstock. So in honor of him, we're going to learn today, Chachlili Einayim Miyoin Uleven Shinayim Mecholav. In this week's parasha, we learn about teeth, white teeth. I have a sefer, very good sefer.
An optometrist also.
We have
Chachlili Einayim.
Who's an optometrist in the shir?
I don't know, but you need
no one yet.
Just like you need an optometrist.
Okay, but we're going to learn about teeth. We're going to learn about some halakhic dilemmas, she'elos, related to teeth. And Rav Mordechai Binstock, our on-site, he thought he retired from dentistry. He's just getting started here. Mm-hmm. He will help us out in deciphering some of the halakhic issues that we will present in a few moments. I'll see you back in a couple of seconds.